I'm actually in the middle of a split shift plowshares, the Jabiluka plowshares. Myself and Trina Lentil disabled uranium mining equipment at the Jabiluka uranium site on Nagasaki Day of last year. We served 2 months in prison, went to court, and in being sentenced after a five-day hearing, the judge gave us time served and a $6,000 restitution bill. I explained to him that I owed British Aerospace £100,000 and legal bills, and I still owe $8,000 to the United States Air Force to damage to a B-52 bomber on the eve of the Gulf War. So he was in a pretty long queue if he expected any money out of me. But he gave me a month to pay, and I was at large and left the country. So I'm returning there to Darwin in January, back to the mine site, to try and speak some truth about depleted uranium rounds and how they've been used recently in the Balkans and in the Gulf War of a Gulf massacre of 91. I'd just like to reflect a little bit on the anti-uranium movement in Australia. When I was 17, which is 22 years ago, the government wanted to kickstart some new mines, and a huge movement developed, and it was quite a the word escapes me at the moment. An amazing movement, really, because we were sending all this poison overseas, so we weren't going to have to deal with it. And but we were responding to the movements in North America and Europe at that time against nuclear energy. And the state I come from, Queensland, which recently, at the recent election, the fascist party, the One Nation Party, got 1 in 4 votes because the government we had for so many years wasn't right-wing enough for people. That government at that time banned all demonstrations, suspended civil rights for about 4 years. So after playing Eartha Kitt in my school concert, the next day I was arrested with 417 other people merely for trying to march in my town against uranium mining. Something like 4,000 arrests then occurred over the next few years in Brisbane as people broke the ban on speaking and leafleting and marching. That government eventually fell after inquiry into police corruption. The police commissioner, who was willing to use police as a political tool, received 14 years in prison. The head of juvenile aid was outed as running a child pornography ring, etc., etc. There was an incredible symbiotic relationship between the best police money could buy and a very authoritarian government. Unfortunately, when the Labor Party were elected in 83, on a policy of closing all uranium mines, Bob Hawke had just taken power 6 weeks before that election, and is now working for the Burmese government. He kicked off the largest uranium deposit in the world at Roxby Downs. And Australia is such a huge place. And to get to these places, whether they be the National Security Agency bases in the outback, like Pine Gap and Narungar, that helped target the cruise missile, the cruise missile drive-by attacks on Sudan and Afghanistan last year, all these uranium mines, is an incredibly long journey. And some of us took that in 84 and throughout the 80s out to Roxby to try and blockade it, etc. Last year, recently, Bill Hayden, who was the Deputy Prime Minister, he was a socialist Republican who later became Governor General of Australia, and in his autobiography said, even while he was the figurehead of the peace movement, said that they were willing to sell uranium to Indonesia, even though they knew Suharto would like to develop a nuclear weapon, and that Australian response should be, we should be about 6 months away from developing our own. So the movement, however, did restrict Labor government to a three mine policy. And this fourth mine attempted to be opened by the new Conservative government, or the Liberals they're called, I don't know how they got that name, called Jabiluka. Is in a pristine wilderness. It's in Kakadu National Park. It's a World Heritage listed wonderland, really. And it's 6 miles away from the Ranger mine that was kicked off in 77. And the Murar people, who live in impoverished conditions, who suffer a high infant mortality rate, were manipulated by the Northern Land Council and the government to sign up to the Ranger mine in 77, have opposed this mine. So it was quite a joy to go up to Jabiluka last year. It was 2,000 miles on a bus. It was pretty amazing. And we're the closest city. I mean, if you're coming from Melbourne, you're travelling another 1,200 miles, 3,200 miles to get there and 3,200 miles to get back. and that's where many of the activists came from. And it was very much a younger generation. Most people at that blockade were between the ages of 18 and 23. And some wonderful creative actions, including our own in the early hours of Nagasaki Day. And we're reminded, especially us who are radical Catholics, that the bombing at Nagasaki was committed largely by a largely Catholic bomb crew, given a blessing by Father George Zabelka, who a few years later repented from that great sin, became a pacifist, and walked in repentance from the Trident base to Bethlehem. A very, very interesting man. So we brought with us the symbols of blood and bolt cutters and hammers, made our way to this huge excavator. We wrote on it, Isaiah strikes again, and uranium, I think uranium means death. And then we wrote Nagasaki, Chernobyl, and Masan. Masan is a small town in Iraq where the cancer rates have tripled since the use of depleted uranium rounds. And the use of depleted uranium rounds is both a crime against the victim and even those who fire them, as many of the Gulf War veterans are finding out now, with the increase in birth deformities and the increase in leukemia and cancers. So we brought that prophecy to that mine site, were arrested and taken to a prison. Darwin has Northern Territory, it's really up there. The Northern Territories are probably about a seventh of the continent. The continent's about the size of the United States. And there's only 180,000 people living in the Northern Territory. Darwin's a population of 60,000. So dreadlock radical activists kind of stand out, I guess. Mm-hmm. But they picked us up and took us to Darwin Jail. And Darwin Jail is 80% indigenous, 80% aborigine. And the remand section that I was on, there were 35 men. 30 of them were tribal aborigines. And their impoverishment and their decimation by the mining culture and is a real continuation of the genocide that's been our history in Australia. And it was amazing to dwell with them for 2 months to reflect on what it meant to be a white Australian amidst this Aboriginal suffering. So it's going to be interesting returning there. I remember waking up, remember getting a letter from Stellan and Anne Britton Manica while I was in prison there, as they were in prison here. And also remember waking up one morning and a Swedish guard opening my door and telling him that Sweden had just beaten England in the football, and he was quite surprised by that. And so there were connections like all over the place. And I was just telling the kids today, you know, why would a Swedish woman, why would a Swedish person come to offer this lifeline in an issue that many see as a lost cause? And I reminded them that the Swedish football team had offered what many people see as lost cause, the English football team, a lifeline just this weekend. And I hope the jury remembers that. So we go back to Jabiluka in January and back to jail for 66 days, knowing that we were in good company. Because how they get away with these weapons is that it's a huge nuclear war assembly line. And I've traveled along a lot of it over the last 20 years. I remember being outside the Lockheed Lockheed Martin factory in Southern California, and we were vigiling there, and this man going to work said, "What are you doing here? We don't build nuclear weapons." And I said, "Well, what do you build?" And he said, "Delivery systems." And I said, "Well, my father's a postman, and he delivers the mail. What are you guys delivering?" And of course, it's nuclear warheads. So it's an incredible space of denial that people are in, and these actions really crack through that, I believe, and hopefully that gift spreads into the communities where the trials occur, where people are in prison. So that's just a little reflection on the Jabiluka flowersheds. And just like to introduce Carmen to offer us some good news from the heart of the beast, United States of America. No.